T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, it's hour number 4 of the G-Bag Nation now. 5 o'clock hour. We're talking Cowboys defeat with you. Do we have a turnover problem developing under center? Let's talk about that. Are the Cowboys underachieving? We will, we'd like to see your thoughts if you want to text in or tweet in at G-Bag Nation. Through 5 games now, Dak Prescott has thrown 6 interceptions. So the topic to me, is this why Linehan was so hell-bent on not asking Dak to do more? Is it possible he was right? And are we just looking at an issue of ball placement with the ball popping off his receiver's shoulder pads and hands? Seems to be reaching back is the issue, right? Lay that bad boy out in front. But hey, if you
not too far in front, because last time he threw one all the way in front of Cooper, he dropped that for a pick. So you got to be careful.
Yeah. So what do you think? You can text in or tweet in if you would like. I don't think I buy the narrative. I do think he played well last night. If Amari helps him and the refs see an obvious defensive pass interference, it would be a much different game. Maybe they even win it. I don't know. Maybe that's too much to ask. Their defense was giving up a ton. And I bet, you know, to go back to Friday's show, if Aaron Rodgers gets the ball and they need to score late, they would have got that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers reminded us all that he's kind of got the Cowboys' number. I saw Kevin Turner talking on Twitter. He's like, man, that wasn't the Aaron Rodgers that I watched the first month of the season.
No, me neither.
Seeing the Cowboys' jerseys does something to him.
Yeah, I hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves that stadium. He's daddy in that stadium. Like, he did some of the old Aaron Rodgers stuff. I saw in the first half alone, there are 3 plays that against most quarterbacks it's a sack. Tank had 2 of them, and Malik Collins had 1. Against the majority of NFL quarterbacks, there were 3 sacks in the first half that didn't happen because Aaron Rodgers pulled a magic escape. And on 2 of them, they ended up being like 30-yard gains where he throws the ball down the field after he escapes. It's maddening.
Yeah.
He's still got a little something.
So it is brutal. But what do you guys think of Dak's interception line here? For the first time in his career, at any point in a season, he is averaging more than 1 interception per game. Is that going to be the case at the end of the season? Text or tweet into us. What do you guys think?
I don't think it'll be that bad, but I think asking a good quarterback to run this system where we're going to throw over 40 times, if that's what we want to do, it could spell trouble for Dak. I did not think he had a good game. I thought he had a below average game. You got to take into account it was 31-3 when everything really started to click.
Well, I mean, he was moving the ball down the field. They were getting into scoring range, you know, and then the interception happened.
Score.
Yeah, I know they didn't score, but there's more ways to evaluate than just how many points are on the board.
Do you think you're in the majority that Dak had a good game?
Yes.
Wow.
Want to put that out on Twitter?
Yeah, I do.
Did Dak have a good game? What do you think about that, Jeff?
Well, I wouldn't say good. I would say not awful, but I don't think if you throw 3 picks that you can say that you had a good game in any way, shape, or form.
But you can only control what you can control.
Well, he threw 2 more that they didn't catch, or 1 didn't count and 1 they didn't catch.
But so yeah, like, but that happens to every.
If we want to discount.
You could go inside the game and find that from most quarterbacks in most games.
Well,
you?
I think we could go inside the game and discount most interceptions from most quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But if they happen, they happen.
So the ones that should count against you are the ones that you throw that could be picked.
So the one in the end zone count?
Yes.
Okay, so he threw that pick.
He threw a pick.
He threw the Gallup pick. And he
threw that was DPI.
Underneath pick. Okay.
He threw 1 pick yesterday.
Okay, he threw 1 that is undoubtedly his fault.
Yeah.
1 that he'll tell you he was hoping to draw a flag, but it was still his throw. He threw it. So that's a pick on him.
Yeah, well, they're all picks on him. All 3 are on him, but I would say only 1 was the result of a really bad decision and throw.
You don't think it's a really bad decision to throw to the other team hoping they throw a flag?
You could. You could argue it like that.
I think
sure.
That's a really bad decision.
Yeah.
The end zone 1 that didn't count as a pick. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't call it a good game.
Okay.
I would say I didn't think Dak had a terrible day. But that is a higher number than you would like of risking the ball like that.
Hey.
And if that continues throughout the year, I mean, I came into the season as a Dak skeptic. And after 3 weeks, I jumped aboard the Dak train. After the last two games, kind of sitting back in my Dak skeptic territory and okay, keep showing me.
463 yards, 10 and a half yards per attempt.
Put me down by 28 points, and I can throw you for 400 yards.
Okay.
They ain't covering anybody.
I mean, and if you are anywhere, it's still one interception a game. I think the standard has to be less than one interception per game. So if you want to look at that, I wouldn't fight you too hard on it. I mean, you can overcome 16 picks a year, but you better have a ton of awesome games.
And to, like, so talking about, like, we're talking about how they move the ball, but they, and Mike, you said they don't score points. I don't think you can make that argument when before your argument about the Cowboys' defense was they keep giving up yards. Eventually, they're going to give up points. Like, if that's the side of the fence you're on, that's the side of your fence you're on, and then it would mean that, hey, sweet, they're getting the yards, and they'll get the points, right?
I think when you're playing against JV teams and you're giving up yards, that when you play a good team, you're probably going to give up the points that you weren't giving up against JV.
Okay, but then against a good defense, they were moving the ball really well, but you don't think that the points would come if they played the Packers again?
If they have those offensive tackles, then no, the points are not going to come.
That could be an issue.
Yeah. Okay, next talking point here. Dak reflected on the two consecutive losses. Our team has got to get better. Got to start fast on offense and play better complementary football. Hopefully we'll look back at this and say this was a turning point or this was good for us. And went on to say perhaps we were sniffing ourselves a little bit too much. What do you guys think about that, that this Cowboys team after 3 weeks became overconfident?
I'll buy it if the quarterback says it. It is sort of a cliche thing to say after a loss. But, I mean, after 3-0, I was sniffing them. I mean, I could see being in the locker room and doing the same thing, but you would think after that first loss, you would kind of snap out of that. But he wasn't the only guy that I heard after the game say something along those lines, where almost saying that and heck, they're slow starters. When are you going to have a game where they're going to come out of the box and be the team that hangs 14 on somebody True. And plays shutdown defense? Why do you got to get to the second half and wake up and see if you can go rescue the game? If you're capable of making that push to come back, you're capable of kicking their butt in the first half. What are you doing? It's in there.
Well, I mean, things happen. That's why you need a season of sample size right. and hundreds of plays because, you know, 30 minutes, you can put out your best effort and things just don't fall your way. It's a weird-shaped ball. Plays happen.
Didn't put out their best. Well, I mean, it's weird. I don't know how much goes to effort. Like, if you make a mental mistake, does that mean you didn't prepare well enough, or does it mean that you had a bad play?
To me, you're unfocused. Yeah. If you have a mental mistake,
okay, well then
you're trying too hard.
Then Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, Malik Collins, Lyle Collins, like, there's a bunch of dudes that made mental mistakes in the first half.
So does that go to the Jason Garrett type of stuff?
I don't know.
That's what he's supposed to be so good at, is putting this team in the right kind of mindset.
That's my question, is when you're calling for the Garrett job, what exactly do you point to? Because I had a bunch of people on the internet telling me you got to fire Garrett because the Cowboys are losing. I was like, well, he didn't drop the ball for Amari Cooper. He didn't throw the ball for Dak. So what exactly? But at the same time, he can't be immune from everything. You can't say he doesn't run the offense or defense, so he's okay no matter what.
I wonder this. I wonder if it will be the ultimate wake-up call for these guys that we are firing Jason Garrett. I'm not saying they should, but...
All right, let's go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander is standing by with some Stephen Jones. And the question is Garrett on the hot seat this morning with Ben and Skin?
Absolutely not. He's done a great job with this team. As you saw yesterday, he had this team playing hard when a lot of teams... That game could have gotten real ugly when it was 31-3 there in the back end of the third quarter. And you know, he's got them playing hard, and we've just got to correct a few things, and you know, and we'll be back in line. I totally believe that. I know Jerry believes it, and Jason's just doing a great job with this team, and I know we'll correct what we need to correct to go win a lot of football games.
Yeah, you know, I think his job is not on the line because of the relationship that he has with the Jones. They want to be loyal to him, and they want to give him the entire season to pull this baby out of the fire. But sitting here thinking about it, Mike, I don't think you could say they'd miss anything if they let Jason Garrett go.
Right.
You know, the only thing they would be missing is a guy that could sort of put the polish on bad things at the press conference. I don't think you're losing anything game plan wise.
Yeah, and somebody asked me that on Friday. And they said, you guys keep saying Jason Garrett's an okay coach, or what, I can't remember exactly what he said, but and I responded to him on Twitter, and I said, look, I think the things that Jason Garrett does good is he has his team ready to play. The team plays hard for him, and most of the players like him. Mm. And I said, those are his traits. That's what you'd be losing if you fired him. I think he's bad with clock management. I think now he doesn't understand how pass interference works with throwing a red flag. He admitted he has no clue how that works in the NFL because he's going to throw it if he thinks there's pass interference. I think that he struggles against good teams, that for some reason he's one of these guys that it doesn't seem to do things in the playoffs. So for me, I don't think you'd be missing much. I mean, what you'd lose is the things I said.
You'd probably put Marinelli in there, right? And the head coach, because he's done it before.
Oh.
He did it to 0-16.
I would put Chris Richard.
I would think you'd leave Chris Richard in charge of defense and have Marinelli, a guy who's kind of more used to the day in and day out game prep and stuff like that.
But he's the worst in the history of football at it.
Just one time.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get your guy's point, but at least he has experience at it. Like Chris Richard, Kellen Moore, that might be overwhelming. I think this is typically why like a special teams coordinator is elevated to head coach, or an offensive line
Bill
coach
Callahan.
is proposed. Okay. So you could keep your defense and offense with the same sort of chain of production throughout the week.
Yeah, I just I don't know why I would lean to Richard so much. I think that energy and having a younger guy has an advantage when you're letting go of an older coach.
If they were to fire, I would just say, let's do something really different and see if it works. And I think really the firing for me would be this. If you think you have a really good team that's overconfident or too relaxed, we just fired the head coach and we wanted to keep him. But you dumbasses had us fire our guy that we wanted to keep forever. Mm. Jerry Jones is crying over there in the corner because he had to fire Jason Garrett, who he wanted to coach the rest of his life. You know, I think that could be a wake-up call, and I'm not saying they should do it yet.
Yeah.
But if they struggle against the Jets and barely win and then lose, let's just say they get blown out again against the Eagles, then I think if you think this team's good enough to do something in 2019 – then I think you fire Jason Garrett during the bye week and you let the players know, hey, that's what's happening.
So I think the conversation, and you can text or tweet in, I think it kind of comes down to this. Do the Cowboys need a wake-up call? Do they need their cage rattled? Or do you stay the course and trust that Jason can pull them out of it? And the losses are due to some untimely interceptions and injuries. And in a month's time coming out of the bye, where they're going to be looking solid. What do you
think? With the injury thing, I would look at that game and I would say we were not worse off than they were. They lost a Pro Bowl safety during the game. They didn't have their number one wide receiver. And we didn't have a tackle and we lost another tackle. Now, losing Tyron hurts this team a lot still, which is unfortunate because you tried to address that with a player. But I would just say injuries are not going to be an excuse because everybody's got them. Their best receiver was Marquez Valdez-Scantling. They beat us with one dude. Aaron Jones beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Defense needs a wake-up call.
What I wonder is, what's your guys' take on an owner or a GM saying something to placate a fan base? Because I want Stephen Jones, when he's asked that, not to say, yes, Garrett's on the hot seat, but say, no, we really like Jason. These guys play hard for him. But, you know, Jerry said it this offseason, the standard is to do better than we did last year. So they know what's in front of them, and they know what they got to go do.
Yeah.
I would rather hear that, even if it's just placating, than, no, we love him and he's doing great. Because he's not.
I think there's a real fine line you can walk in there, and that would have been a perfect way to say it. You know, I think they try to err on the side of, we don't want our players thinking that our coach is on the ropes. You know,
if they like him, it'd be a good thing.
Yeah, hey, great point. Great point, man. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I did see for Dak's career, 12 of his 31 picks have bounced off the receiver. And I guess that doesn't surprise me because he hasn't thrown many picks. but so many of his balls are just slightly off target that would make the receiver go into an awkward spot that would allow the hands to not be there.
I would say one of the things I was disappointed with Dak yesterday was he started fading away again. He has a bad arm for NFL standards, and when he starts fading back and throwing the ball, he doesn't have the arm strength of like a Aaron Rodgers, a Pat Mahomes, a Brett Favre, whoever it is, you know, the good arms. He can't fade away and get the ball where he wants to in enough time because the ball flutters on him. It hangs on him because his arm strength isn't there to do that. So that was one of the things I was disappointed with Dak is, look, you're going to have to stop fading away because your arm just isn't good enough to do that. It's just the way God made you. You can be a really good NFL quarterback, but he did not give you the talent in the arm to fade and throw the ball where you need it to go quickly. The vote right now is 68-32 on no, but there have been responses, Gavin, on people are kind of like, I'd give him a B or a C+, kind of more of like he was okay rather than like just saying yes or no to good game.
I was wondering how that baby was going. Man, I've gotten a lot of Twitter response here to this segment, so we appreciate you at GBag Nation, at Gavin Dawson, JC1053, at Mike Bassick. So coming up next, we're going to take a look at Cowboys Twitter, some of the top tweets that went viral after yesterday's disappointing loss to the Packers. It's next here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We got a look at Cowboys Twitter here coming up for you in 30 seconds. Segment on The Fan is brought to you by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll handle all the harassing collection calls and stress. Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Yeah, before we get there, Mike Tyson talking Conor McGregor today. Conor has to look inside himself and say, what happened? Why am I the way I am? And how do I stop this from continuing to be? He was with Ariel Helwani on that MMA show that guy does.
Mike knows. He also knows it's bad for your fighting career.
Yeah.
Some antidepressants.
Mike's been through all this.
Yeah.
You know, Conor McGregor under investigation for sexual assault back in Ireland, allegedly punched a man in a Dublin bar. I don't know if Mike Tyson ever punched fans, but Conor McGregor did. Tyson, though, can relate, though. He says, we don't know how to handle this stuff. We get millions of dollars. We never had this. Our families never had this. We've never been around this life. I would like to say there's plenty of people, thousands of them, that get lots of money and don't go crazy the way Mike Tyson and Conor McGregor have.
Yes.
But he says, all of a sudden, you start fighting, doing something you love to do, and you do it easily, and all of a sudden, they give you a lot of money for doing it. You have no restraint, no control. You don't know what to do. You give it away. You buy people gifts that don't deserve gifts. You just don't know what to do with it. You feel like you don't deserve it. How about that? That's some deep self-sabotage psychology there for Mike Tyson. Yeah,
and McGregor's a real-life gangster.
Is he?
Like, he's like the stuff with Habib. You brought in your goons to jump a guy and destroy a... But, like, Conor
like
McGregor
to me.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's a bad person. He should not be allowed to partake in the sport.
No.
Until he fixes himself as a person.
You're right about that. He is one of the worst, and he must have made so much damn money in that 2 or 3 year period where he was on top that
Mayweather.
He can just. So he's not.
What did he get, like 30, 40 million for that?
Hmm.
He made some good money.
Yeah, he got all the money right there, brother.
It just goes to that old Kanye West song, "Wait till I get my money right." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, how many people out there in the world are would-be complete lunatics if they just had enough money that nobody could tell them anything?
I forgot who it was, but it was like, money doesn't change you. It just empowers you to be even more of whatever you are. And in Conor McGregor's case, it's a terrible, violent person that likes to hurt people and get drunk.
I just want to find out who I really am. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to be that rich where you can get by like that.
Okay, Cowboys Twitter here. Zeke quoted from John Mashota. "Don't ask me any officiating questions," says Zeke. I love it. "I'm never going to be the guy to say, hey, we lost because of the refs. At the end of the day, we got to look in the mirror as a team and realize that we shot ourselves in the foot too many times. It wasn't the refs." And he is right about that. But, I mean, we didn't even mention the Jeff Heath. What was that, a defensive holding call that was phantom? You got, or was that a defensive PI? You have Tavon Austin. You have
on Jimmy Graham where he fell down coming out of his break. So
yeah.
They said, well, he fell down. You must have done it.
Yeah, that is one of those. But I do love my players to not buy into that at all. I think as fans, we can vent about it. But once you get the players and coaches and senators involved, it just gets embarrassing. You know, like what New Orleans went through last year in the playoffs. You got to shake yourself at some point and understand bad calls have been around since the beginning of organized sports. Sometimes they help you. Sometimes they hurt you.
And we'll complain about it plenty.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. We got this.
We got your back on that.
The last thing you need is to get one of those refs to not like you like Garrett did.
Dude,
whatever he said to that guy couldn't wait to throw a penalty on Jason Garrett.
I mean, there's plenty of documented instances, especially in basketball, of referees really having it out for a team or an individual. How about Ed Werder? "Jerry Jones described Jason Garrett's penalty as uncharacteristic, wanted to know what prompted him. I told him abusive language. Jerry, well, I hope the little darlings didn't hear something they've never heard before." Yeah, that's something I'd like to look at in the offseason. Like, okay, so in baseball, if you say too much, you get kicked out. Why shouldn't it be the same in football? How am I getting a 15-yard penalty? If I've gone way overboard, just kick me out of the game.
Yes, thank you.
You know, I don't really need an impact on the team to be felt other than, hey, you know, you've lost your calm. You no longer deserve to be on the sidelines. Get out of here. I think you should reserve the 15-yarders and stuff for things that actually happen through the course of play.
It's also interesting in baseball. That's the only one where you can get into the referee/official umpire's face and just start yelling at him, and, you know, he has to take it or he can yell back, and you guys are just nose-to-nose yelling at each other. Football, you're not allowed to get anywhere close to the ref, no matter how pathetic they are at their job. Basketball, guys will get thrown out, and they'll go on the court for, like, 10 seconds, but they won't really get close to the ref and get into kind of his space. But in baseball, they allow you to get into the umpire's space and scream at him right in his face, and then eventually they break it up.
Ari Temkin, our post-game show host, pre and post, was irritated. Same official who called Anthony Brown's PI, Cooper out when he was in, and missed King's holding on Michael Gallup on Dak's third pick. Same dude. That goes to, you know, if you're the official. And Jason Garrett's the guy out of all coaches who'd be like talking about the benefits of, you know, staying calm, not saying something you'd regret. But hey,
you can say those things and you can live those truths most of the time.
Yes.
Sometimes something's going to get you.
I think he's batting over 900.
He's doing great.
Yeah, he is. He's doing quite well. KT, this is a funny one from him yesterday, happened some point in the second quarter, tweeted, "I'm just going to say it. Some of y'all are Richards when things aren't going well for the Cowboys. Don't be mean to people. It's not dignified."
That is so true. People get so mad about
Cowboys.
Was he
just excited
losses?
About the Packers?
People get so mad about sports losses.
He has the ownership of the team.
Well, he is a part owner. Big time money involved in that. You can sell those shares for big money, except it's $0, and it's the greatest scam ever run by a pro sports team.
I never get the feeling, even though KT's family is Green Bay Packers or whatever, I never get the feeling that his Cowboys takes are affected by that at all. I don't know, Jeff.
No.
You know KT a lot better than
no,
I do.
No, I don't think so. Like, if he thinks, like, he thought the Cowboys were going to beat the Packers. When he thought the Packers were going to beat the Cowboys in the playoff game and he was right and guessed the right score, people hated him. It's like, it's sports get people wild.
It's tough because these games mean so much. What if the Rangers were right now on a 20-game losing streak?
Right.
That's what the Cowboys are on. Or if the Mavericks or Stars were on a 10-game losing streak. The Stars are close to that. But if you're on a 10-game losing streak as the Mavericks, you'd be like, what the hell is going on?
I would love for people to see what other listeners have to say on the Autoflex Leasing fan text at 877-881-1053. Because the day after a loss, it's kind of split 50-50 between shut up, Homer, and man, what's the opposite of being a homer? Shut up, hater.
You guys are haters.
It's like, I just want to send you the message that came before and after you back to you because somebody else is like the exact opposite. It's tough. It's a tough deal losing at sports. Losing a football game's not fun.
Yeah, it's more emotional than on the election night for a president. If the other team, like you vote for one side, the other team wins it. That doesn't get a strong emotional reaction as Cowboys losing a game.
No.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And even when there's like reasonable reasons that you lost and you could say, oh, like, okay, that sucks, you lost, but there's going to be another game and maybe they can win a big game in the future and sort of offset this horrible loss like the Packers just did. It's like, no. You know, it's like the world as we know it has to come to an end. And this person, whether it's Dak or Jason Garrett, is so to blame. And anybody that says, hold on now, come on, you can't blame this on the head coach. It's just so much.
Is it partially our fault because we are picking them to beat the Saints? We're picking them to beat the Packers?
No, it's not our fault. We're giving sports opinions. These people are completely losing their effing minds. And embarrassing themselves.
But we're not giving them like, you. Hey, everybody told me that we were supposed to be better than them and beat them.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, like, I'm just saying when it comes to, let's say, when they play at the Patriots, nobody's going to pick us to beat the Patriots. That's going to be a loss.
I
know you will. You'll say it's a 3-touchdown game. You're going to say how easy it is on every game that you keep saying.
Three and a half.
All these games are so easy.
I know it.
But you're kind of going in there expecting to lose. So then if you lose, you're like, oh, man, if we would have done this and done that, and I'm disappointed. But, I mean, they are the better team. I think what's tough in this is that the Cowboys were favored in both of these games. And one, it was a close game. This one was pretty much a blowout.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a second. Everybody said we're better than that team, and we got blown out?
Yeah.
There's a problem.
Yeah, I think it for a lot of it, it just comes down to how upset things beyond your control can really make you. And I think for some people, it's unlimited. For other people, they say, I'm not going to let myself get this angry over a sport. Especially when guys are injured and balls are bouncing and refs are doing weird things, you know? I think it's a decision a lot of people come to eventually at some point in their life. And that's why the most passionate sports fans are in their 20s and 30s. At some point, you get tired out of it. And you say, you know what, I'm going to enjoy the games, I'm going to high-five my buddies and talk about how great it is, but I'm not going to let myself get to a point where I lose my dignity on social media or in my living room or anywhere. And I think we all go through phases of our lives and we're at one station or another when it comes to that, but it's very, very rare that you come upon a group of 50-year-olds or something that have anything more than a wry smile and a chuckle with their buddies after a tough loss. I mean, I'm sure there's some out there, but not that many. Clarence Hill Jr., Ellen DeGeneres, George Bush, Danica Patrick among the celebrities at the Packers-Cowboys game. Yeah, there were a lot of famous people up there. They were having a good old time in the Jones family suite.
Danica's so tiny.
Yeah.
She strikes me as a mean person, though.
She must still be with Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah. I've only seen her once in person, but just her face, I thought that maybe she's a mean person.
Don't you get a kick out of watching Aaron Rodgers come to the sideline and LaFleur try to talk to him? And Aaron's like, whatever. And LaFleur's like chasing around like, no, man, it's cool. Trust me, you know. Roger's like, okay, dude, whatever.
Working with him is probably not the most fun thing ever. But, you know, if you get an opportunity to be a head coach, you got to take it.
Yeah, I don't know how they're still together. I mean, between Rodgers and Danica Patrick, it's got to be just like one super annoyed thing after another.
Because I think that in that way, they're the exact same, and it makes them happy.
Okay.
In some way. Like, I can just tell her to shut up, she tells me to shut up, and then we're fine.
I think maybe they're in the honeymoon phase where they just get together and bitch about whatever sucked about their life that day.
Yes, exactly.
Warren Sharp, 42 and 32, 56.7%. What's that number? It's the record of road teams so far They're 42-32. He said, I wrote about diminishing home field advantage and listed the factors as to why it's shrinking prior to the season. It's a lot of technology reasons. Fantasy football, viewing at the stadium is different, and it's creating less passionate fans than before.
That's probably all just cell phones, right? How many people, even at a game, are staring at their cell
phone? Not watching that much. It's only like Seattle and New Orleans and Kansas City where the fans have made it part of their thing. Like, we're going to show up and we're going to cheer our balls off and make it so loud that the other team hates it. Everywhere else, they're like, well, that's not what we do. I kind of want to check my fantasy scores right now. Dan Rogers, this Cowboys offense on pace to go over 400 yards for the fourth time in five tries this season, although it certainly doesn't feel like it. Yeah, those are empty yards. Empty yards indeed if turnovers are tripping you up. Hey, we play like this for two more games with all the yards and none of the points, and that Jason Garrett, Scott Linehan system is going to be gaining a lot more traction and support.
You know, you're talking about, I know this is going back because I had to look it up real quick. I do have here on a website that Aaron Andrews and Aaron Rodgers dated for maybe a little bit in 2010. And I was wondering how that goes because I know he had a sit-down interview with her. I don't know. It's just kind of like she's on the sideline there and she's listening in on like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just, if that, was
wouldn't
your
that be
former
the world?
Yeah. Kind of dating girl. I don't know if girlfriend's the right word, you know, but
yeah.
Like they dated maybe a few times or
I think if you're in that celebrity circle and you date other celebrities, you're just the kind of guy that is not bothered by it that much. Like, yeah, whatever. Oh, here's another guy you used to date, Aaron. Oh.
It is a strange world, I bet. You just kind of ask around for the next person's number or whatever and just kind of move on through the circle.
Yeah, some people are greatly affected by it. Brett Bielema, he is currently the Patriots defensive line coach. He dated Aaron Andrews as well. Look at that dude. How would you like to be like, oh, honey. I see what
he dated Aaron Andrews.
Yeah, he sure did.
How?
He must have a hell of a personality.
Turn that back. The guy with the sleeveless shirt on.
This dude right here. Yes, Brett
what
Bielema,
the hell?
Former Wisconsin Badgers head coach.
That must be a charming dude.
He was on top of the world, but hopefully not on top of anything else. There for a couple of years coaching the Wisconsin
Goodness
Badgers.
Gracious, what a large man.
How about a little Mavs Twitter before we roll on? The AAC felt rowdy, proud, and loud as they set a new attendance record for open practice. Did you go, Lucius? Huge thanks to MFFLs. There were 8,850 who went out to the AAC yesterday afternoon to watch the Mavs practice. Set a new record.
I did one of those. The last time I went to was when we had Lamar Odom.
Do they scrimmage? Like they're going?
They kind of do, yes. Okay. They have a little bit of a practice for 30 minutes. Then they do kind of a soft scrimmage for 15 minutes or so.
That's how it was.
And the guys, at least then, would throw like maybe their practice jersey in the stands or their shoes into the stands.
Jock, whatever. Yeah. Whatever it is that you take
off.
They
threw basketballs into the stands, autographed basketballs.
Wow, winning. Oh.
It was really weird when I went because Lamar Odom was throwing something and it was just like powder would just come out of his hand. And I was like, what is he doing?
Just
and
giving stuff to the crowd.
He just had the Coke that was, still in his hand from doing
it
right before practice.
That is LeBron James powder routine. I get it. Yeah.
Getting the party started right. Yeah. Okay, when we come back, Jeff has something prepared for us to talk about.
How about this conspiracy theory about the worst run organization in the NFL?
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. Coming up at 6 o'clock, we'll take a look at what is on 1053thefan.com. Right now, it's time for Jeff to take over the broadcasting.
Yes, I do have the story that I teased about the most inept organization in the NFL. Of course, that's the Washington Redskins. A little conspiracy theory floating around. But first, I found an even more intriguing sports story. You guys remember the, what's his name, Bagel Boss, the angry bagel guy?
Yeah, he fought Lenny Dykstra,
yeah,
didn't he?
Keep ducking those fights.
Uh-huh. I didn't catch that. So he was supposed to fight Lenny Dykstra. He's being sued now by the promoter of the fight.
No way.
Even though Lenny Dykstra backed out first. But check out what a wonderful story this was. Okay. So TMZ reporting, first on the scene. Angry bagel guy is facing a big lawsuit. He bailed on his celebrity boxing match with Dustin Diamond at the last minute.
Wow.
He's supposed to fight Screech.
Screech keeps a blade, so you better watch out.
I'm telling you, man. It's been
a rough.
Is he
out of jail or in jail? I don't know about.
He's out. He's free. Okay. Yeah, it's been a rough go for Screech. And I think let that be a warning to you, parents. If your kid is going to be a child star, don't let him play the nerd role. You know, that stuff seeps into your pores and builds resentment.
Isn't Urkel doing fine?
Probably
doing great.
But yeah, that's because he got to play Stephon Urkel as well.
You got to let it come out.
He got his shine on in that show, along with being the nerd.
Still, yeah. That's 50-50. I'm not messing with those odds.
Yeah, it's true.
So Dustin Diamond's going a little bit further just because he played the nerdy role.
Yes.
Okay, I get it.
He got picked on the whole time.
I like that theory.
Nobody ever wanted to be his friend or be seen in public with him or date him. It was a tough go.
Zach used to use the hell out of him.
Yeah, and Zach got to keep making money. Yep. Even till now, he's still on TV shows, even if he's a bad guy.
There was a
we
nerd,
interviewed him once, and
there was
he
a
didn't
nerd
like
called,
being called Zach.
Called Boner. How's Boner doing?
Who's Boner?
Wasn't he like different known
Family Ties?
Family Ties, I think.
It would be weird if
was
Boner
that Mike
was
Siever's
on different
friend?
Strokes.
Yes, it absolutely was. He was found dead in Canada, by the way.
Who?
Boner.
Okay, really? So 2 out of 3.
Boner right there.
You don't want to be that. Yeah. Why did he do that to his hair? That's weird. Yeah.
There he is with Mike Siever.
So
one of the great child actors of his time.
The great child actors. Power rank the child actors. Who are the best child actors you've ever seen?
He was very popular.
The guy from Silver Spoons was pretty amazing, too. Little blonde-headed guy.
Okay, I know the chicks were way in
on
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Alfonso Rivera was on there.
Who's that?
Alfonso Carlton.
Oh, he was acting as a child?
He was on Silver Spoons.
Oh, yeah.
He was. He was best friend.
So anyway, guys.
Yeah, my bad.
Webster.
Bagel guy, Chris Morgan. He's being sued by the fight promoter, Damon Feldman, for $10,000. He claims that Bagel guy backing out of the fight cost him thousands of dollars in losses. Where did they fight? Why didn't I have access to this? I needed this.
It was on the internet.
I paid $75 for Spence. I'd have paid $8 for Screech versus Bagel Guy. Yeah. Although I guess he didn't fight Bagel Guy. They say Bagel Guy signed his contract for the match, pocketed appearance fees, then pulled out of the fight.
Wow, what a loser.
Yeah, he was about to fight Screech, and then apparently hours before the fight, he went on social media and said, "I fooled you all. I ain't coming to the fight."
Wow.
Which then left the promoter scrambling for a replacement. And you'll have to Google this. They say filmmaker Matt Wolf ended up fighting Screech.
I know who Dick Wolf is. I've never heard of Matt Wolf.
That's Law & Order SVU?
Dick Wolf? Yeah, that. And New York Undercover. Whole lot of cool stuff out there.
So some poor guy who's a filmmaker named Matt Wolf said, "Sure, I'll fight Screech." And he got knocked out in one punch by Screech, which is really tough. So Lenny Dykstra backed out. Screech stepped in for him. Bagel Guy backed out. Also, they were going to have Bam Margera as the celebrity ref. He backed out.
Oh, what a dumpster fire.
You know who the ref was? Dwight Gooden was the celebrity
ref. Dr. K?
How did they get that fight sanctioned?
I don't know. This is so much further than Bellator. This is like, okay, you don't have to have a fighting background at all. Just have acquired some sort of fame at some time, and we'll book you. And if you back out, no problem. We'll book someone else totally unrelated to you. What a wonderful fight. If anybody's got video of Screech knocking this guy out, I'd love to see it, because I don't think Screech could knock out anyone. I think that that's probably a fabrication.
I caught an interview of Bagel Guy trying to promote the fight, and he was talking all kinds of trash, but he was always trying to line it up with a really small, out-of-shape guy.
Right.
And the only people that were willing to fight him were people that were for sure going to win. But he was so good at talking trash in that bagel shop. Remember before the regular-sized guy, like, turfed him in a half second?
Yeah.
I think that's the, you know, if you're going to go full Napoleonic complex, you got to be willing to totally throw. And then if you
but
do.
But you can't win.
I know.
That's the problem.
Well, that's the,
in
you
the
know.
In the bagel place, he was getting choked out on the floor, just getting choked out.
Yeah. But as long as you're still willing to throw every time, you still have a character. You can still build off that. Hey, I'm going to lose this fight, but I'll fight you. Screw you. Nobody talks like that to me, right?
That's Scrappy Doo right there.
Yeah. You are right, because you would if like you'd known that he'd fought the 13 last people he talked crap to.
You're like,
when he started talking to you,
you'd
be like, I don't want to fight this guy.
I know.
I
want
to beat him up. Feel terrible about that.
The bit's over now for Bagel Boss Guy. He's probably going to get his pants sued
off. Oh, yeah. He got arrested for possession of drugs or something like that.
Oh, did Bagel Guy
substance?
Get? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Who would ever thought that he would do drugs? In other news, conspiracy theory in the NFC East. So Jay Gruden got fired. Washington lost to New England. He got fired. Lost his job. But did you guys notice the story earlier in the week where videos of Jay Gruden came out on the internet? He was partying and stuff like that?
Yeah, we talked about this Friday.
Okay. Yep. Oh, okay. Did you hit the conspiracy theory?
No. No, we just had the videos.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So he was like Georgetown area,
those,
getting loose.
Yeah, but those videos are more than a year old, if not older. So the conspiracy theory goes, Washington knew they wanted to fire him.
Ooh, I like it.
And so they leaked it. Like, hey, just a reminder, Jay Gruden parties and drinks sometimes. Look at him. He's flirting with a younger lady. And set him up for, like, now when you fire him, there is no backlash. Like, there was going to be backlash for firing Jay Gruden.
Pretty so, genius.
That's how the theory goes.
That's how you get that done.
Texas man struck by lightning. Let me ask all you weather experts out there.
That makes me so scared.
Does lightning go from the top to the bottom or the bottom to the top?
Top bottom.
Because I hear from the bottom to the top.
That's what I had heard. But it goes from the top to the bottom?
But I don't know.
Because if it starts at the bottom, how does anyone ever get struck by it?
Yeah.
Because wouldn't it have to start underneath you? Because it starts and then it comes. That's a dumb question that I don't know.
Happens simultaneously.
It
just appears.
Yeah. The answer is both. They come together. So there's energy from the earth and energy from the clouds. But the part that we see is coming from the ground.
See it from. Okay. But there's no way to dodge it. Couldn't have seen that coming because it's just kind of
too late.
Yeah, he was walking. He was in Southeast
Superman
Texas.
Superman can because he moves at the speed of light.
Right. Does he recognize things quickly enough to put that?
I wouldn't put anything past Superman.
Yeah, okay. Superman probably can.
He needs to join the Avengers.
This is a Southeast
Texas.
He's an
alien.
He needs to join the Avengers.
Yeah.
He is an alien.
He's an alien.
And if he hadn't.
He's super alien, not Superman.
And if that super alien hadn't showed up on our country, we wouldn't have to be fighting off all these.
See?
Do you think that'll ever happen, that Marvel and DC
Superman?
Will come together?
Oh, I thought you meant Superman being here.
No, that...
Yes,
didn't the parent company, one of the parent companies buy the other company?
Yeah, I think...
Isn't Wolverine going over there?
Damn it, how's this work? Disney owns everything now or something, and now we can get the X-Men with the Avengers? Anyway, Southeast Texas, man. He got struck by lightning. He was walking his dogs, three dogs. It took him down. Video from a veterinary hospital security camera... Spring, Texas, just north of Houston, shows him walking the three dogs when lightning hits him. He collapses and the dogs run off.
Ah, I knew it.
Wow, lucky dogs.
I knew it.
What?
The dogs ran off instead of helping the dude that feeds them every day.
What are they going to do?
Something. Lick my face, man.
He got struck by lightning.
Wake me up, bro.
Yeah. Yeah,
surprised those mutts didn't try to eat him.
Woman working at the clinic immediately went to help. They said, we need help with CPR, and somebody got out on the ground there. He's not moving. He's not breathing, and his clothes are seared, shoes and socks knocked off his feet. Yeah, that wouldn't knock your socks off.
Heck yeah, it does.
How?
It looks wild. That's
how?
A lot of energy coming at you at one time.
You ever seen somebody get punched out of their shoes? Certainly lightning could shock you out of your socks.
But the socks have to depend on what.
I don't want to see that. However lightning makes socks and shoes come off, I do not want to see
that. What if he's wearing the socks that are not the low cuts?
I mean, you think about static electricity. This is electricity, fam.
And it's just going to roll it down over the back of your foot and off your toes?
It's not going to go politely either.
Okay, so are we saying that it burns the sock off?
Yeah, there might be some of that.
Okay, because if it knocks, I can't see it knocking the sock off. The socks are kind of
but
fitted
is
to
it,
you.
Like, don't when people get hit by cars, don't like their socks and shoes come off?
Yep.
Just so fast. Boom. You're hit.
I question the physics here.
It's like a whole football team hitting you.
I'm questioning the physics.
Somebody said, you guys need to go back to science class. Laugh out loud.
Well, yeah, that's why I ask questions. I'm looking for the listeners.
They're questions.
Hey, let me handle that guy. Shut up, nerd. Back to Jeff.
Just kidding.
Our guy's got a GoFundMe page if you want to help him with his hospital bills.
That guy has a good
job. He does, yeah.
We have the best job. I don't care about being smarter at science. The odds on being struck by lightning in the United States in a given year.
You got a great job unless you're sneezing on your butt.
Are
running back and forth to that bathroom.
And 1.22 million. But that's every year. So over the course of your life, that's got to be closer to 1 and 1.1 million or so.
Yeah. I'm not messing with those odds.
I'm ready. I'd like to be. What?
Stop playing.
I'll say it.
All right.
I would like to be struck by lightning.
Without a guarantee of survival.
Why do you say things like this?
Because he doesn't know that the tongue is powerful. When you speak things to existence, fam.
Because
Mike Irvin tried to warn us about this a couple years back.
I could see you fighting some animal that you're going to die from, but right before you die from that animal, lightning strikes you.
Yeah, but the lightning would probably just give me superpowers to beat up the animal. No, I just think that most people survive, and I think that's a really cool story. You get struck by lightning. I'd rather be like on a bike or in a car where it doesn't do any damage, but I'm willing to have a shoe knocked off to have the story of getting struck by lightning.
Well, only about 1 in 10 people who are struck by lightning end up dying.
See?
So, I like your odds, Jeff.
Thank you. What are the odds?
1 in 10
1 in 10.
Wow, I thought it'd be higher.
No, I keep up
like
with this stuff.
75%.
I ain't playing with those odds. I'm not even playing with the odds, though. I don't want any of it.
What's on 105throughthefan.com? We'll tell you next here in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.